God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Sometimes as I'm traveling, people will come up to me and say, "Will you say a prayer for me?" To which I'm usually very, very delighted. I have no problems praying for other people. Actually, if anything, we need to be praying for other people, probably more than we even pray for ourselves. But usually, if the person is not a member of Trinity, because I don't think any member of Trinity has ever said this to me, they usually will then sometimes add a little bit more and sometimes will say, "You know, Pastor, you know, your prayers are much more special than my prayers. You know, you have this special connection with God. You have a special in, a special relationship." To which I usually smile and say, "No, not really." That surprises them. Some people think that maybe 4 years of seminary and ordination gives me a special place in God's heart. Well, today's text would remind me that's not necessarily so. Our gospel reading for today notes that Jesus' own disciples had a hard time with this concept of prayer. They even had to go to Jesus and say, "Okay, Jesus, teach us to pray," just like John taught his disciples how to pray. Now, if I thought about that for a moment, I would rather have had a year or two or three with Jesus than my 4 years of seminary. Wouldn't it have been more of an impact upon my faith and my trust to actually be there to shake Jesus' hands, to eat bread with him, and to travel with him? I will admit, I'd rather be one of those disciples. But when the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray," it's not that I am better than the disciples. It's just we understand things a little bit differently. Because what was the main difference? It wasn't that the disciples didn't believe. But you may remember Pentecost hadn't come yet. Pentecost, a time when the Holy Spirit definitely came upon the apostles, the disciples. And then the Holy Spirit worked that faith. You see, prayer is really a direct connection of that faith you have. How easy is it for you to pray? Sometimes as Christians, we struggle with that concept. Now let me ask it this way. How easy is it for you to put your faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? But the Satan wants to come in, the devil, the tempter. He wants to come in and drive a wedge between you and God. And so he wants to use words like this. "My words are not poetic." You mean God needs poetic words? We might think our words are not eloquent, that we may stumble and fall with our words, or we might not say it correctly. God knows the heart. So when it comes to our prayer, let us be bold, not because of who we are, but because of what God has done for you. Because that Holy Spirit resides within you, because you have been baptized into Christ. So Jesus, as he was in a certain place, he taught his disciples, and we might be familiar with these words. We better be familiar with these words. We also better be teaching these words to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, and to all around. This is the Lord's Prayer. But sometimes when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, we've heard it so many times, we just go through our mind in sort of an automatic mode. And sometimes it begs the question, do we really put our faith and trust in what these words are? Do we always need to be using these words? Someone jokingly said to me when I was still in my seminary days, "You know, David, it's not a true Lutheran service until the Lord's Prayer is said." To which I kind of smiled and kind of jokingly agreed. The reason why? This is the Lord's words. And in this prayer that he gives to us, he gives of himself. Notice how we have adapted this prayer to begin with our Father. And the reason why it's our Father is because of the person work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is by His death we can now come to the Father, and He invites us to pray. Some of the other words that Jesus used in today's gospel, hallowed be your name, focusing upon God's name is indeed hallowed. It is holy. Your kingdom come. But now, the rest of it might sound a little unusual for the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to be praying, give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Did God sin? The answer is no. So why is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray and using the word us? Again, it's part of that special substitutionary arrangement. Because when we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, again, something again we're very familiar with, and sometimes again we may take for granted, do we not realize that when Jesus goes there, he takes on our sin? Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that bears our sin. Not his own sin, but our sin. He is the one that does carry the weight of the whole entire world upon himself. And because this is his prayer, he is still praying this prayer for you and for me. So it is very fitting for Jesus to teach this prayer and to use the concept of a collective plural, that of us. Jesus teaches us how to pray, giving us the Lord's Prayer. And in this prayer that he also prays, there's a beautiful balance. The first three petitions talking about that relationship we have with God the Father. The one petition, give us this day our daily bread, focusing upon us and our needs. The rest of the petitions, to focus upon the special gift that God has given to us, that gift of faith, and asking the Lord to protect that gift within us. This is the basis of the Lord's Prayer. Now, I will admit, if Satan tries to use that prayer of familiarity to get us to be bored with it, he kind of wins. If he tries to convince us to give up that prayer because there's nothing new in it, he kind of wins. But then Satan also uses another measure. He says, what's in it for you? Give us this day our daily bread doesn't sound like much. So too often in our own prayers, our prayers may sound like some sort of Christmas list for ourselves. But then please notice how Jesus ends the Lord's Prayer with an example, somewhat of a parable, about a man who goes to his neighbor because he just had some friends come in the middle of the night, and this man has absolutely nothing. But he goes to the neighbor and says, will you give me something so I may place it before the visitor who has come? This is teaching us again about prayer. God the Father is the neighbor giving out the gifts. We are the ones who are doing the asking, but who's the one benefiting? It doesn't seem like we are the ones benefiting. It is others. You see, we need to realize the whole concept of our prayer, yes, is to acknowledge who God is, to continue that faith, that relationship with Him, to pray for what we need, but let us also not forget our neighbors in need. Why does Jesus add this little parable to the end? Maybe because he knows that very often we'd be very, very selfish with our prayers. And so Jesus reminds us we should also be praying for other people. If I understand this parable correctly in connection with prayer, I would have to say, God purposely should be putting needy people into our lives. Needy people that we have a hard time helping. The reason why? Because like this parable, if we were able to help them ourselves, we would have no need to go to God the Father in prayer. But if we truly realize who we are, empty beggars, so to speak, without anything, needing our very own life and breath being drawn from God, now we're on the right track. And so when needy people come into our lives and we say, Lord, I can't fulfill this. I need your help. Now we're getting the aspect of this parable. How many times do needy people come into our lives? How many people do you know who have ever struggled with cancer? And what can you do for a friend, a relative, a neighbor, or a coworker who has cancer? You can pray for them. You can ask for God's help, for God's intervention, just like the parable today. We have lots of people in our world around us who are in various forms of need. And so when was the last time we brought them into our prayers and say, Lord, how can you help me provide for them? Because notice what was going on in the parable. That neighbor was to give the loaves of bread to the one who was asking, who was then to give to the one in need. So maybe our prayer should reflect this line of thought that says, Lord, how can you use me to help my neighbor? I know you will take care of me. I know you love me. I know you have forgiven me. Now, how can I show that same love and forgiveness to those in need around us? We have to realize, as we do in the liturgy, when we get to the Kyrie, we say, Lord, have mercy. Just like the person in the parable, we come before our Lord with hands empty, hearts emptied. And we say, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help me to share what you have given. Yes, we need to learn more about prayer. We need to be doing prayer. We need to be having these holy conversations, as our hymn said, with God. God invites us. So if we've ever struggled with our prayer life, we need to return back to God's Word. Turn back to the Lord's Prayer and begin with something as simple as Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will do those communications. We may have to have the most perfect word or pronounce each word correctly. God knows what's in our heart. God knows what we need. God knows our neighbors in need. But he uses this prayer and our prayers to teach us about our neighbor in need. And that we just come before our Heavenly Father as empty beggars. The cross of Jesus Christ reminds us of that. The Lord's Prayer reminds us of that. And even in the Lord's Supper, again, it's his supper, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to give you strength, to fill you, because we come before our Lord as empty beggars. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.